Greetings to each one this morning. It's good to see each one here. And it's been interesting to see how the service has gone. And when Tristan got up and he said, Matthew 6, I said, whoa, it's getting mighty close here now. But it's been interesting to see, and I don't generally, which I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks, I was supposed to preach last Sunday, and Dale called or texted me and wondered if it would be a possibility of switching. And I said, yeah, that would be fine. And I told him last Sunday, I said, he kind of almost took my topic a little bit. And he said, well, just go ahead and preach it again, then it's fine. So it's not quite the same as his, but down the same line a little bit. And then to see Tristan and our Sunday school lesson talked about worry this morning. And that was worry a little bit in our personal life. And then also, Jesus also taught about worrying as we go out and come in contact with the people around us in our daily life as well. How many of you remember what Dale talked about last Sunday? I have the benefit because I kind of knew what I was going to be talking about. And so, yeah. My question to you this morning is, how many people did you influence this week? Because even for the introverts, what was it, 18,000 in a span of a lifetime, something like that? I think it was somewhere around 18,000 people that you would influence. I think that's what Dale said. So how many people did you influence this week? He talked about Daniel, and of course, Daniel is one of my favorite Bible characters, probably my favorite Bible character besides Jesus himself. And it just intrigues me as you look at influence and you look at Daniel's life. If you think back of how many kings that he was under in his lifetime, and somehow it just always amazes me. He was under, and while he was in what you would call captivity, he was under four different kings. And it always amazes me, you know, you have the first one, Nebuchadnezzar, and he interpreted a dream and had a place of higher standing. And then who comes along? Belshazzar comes along, and the writing on the wall, and they get all these people to try to interpret it. They forget all about Daniel until all of a sudden it's like, there's a guy. So they get Daniel over there, and he interprets the dream again. And again, the same thing happens. And then the next one comes along is Darius, and he seems to have somewhat forgotten about Daniel. Not totally, and yet what Daniel stood for. And again, and then King Cyrus is the fourth king. But each time, it has to be like a roller coaster. You know how life, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, okay, we're here. Oh, we're down here. What's going to happen? You know, always these questions, you know, in life, and what's going to happen? How's it going to go? And that's kind of how Daniel's life was. And yet, Daniel was faithful and continued on living out his faith just like the best that he knew how. And he impacted so many people in his lifetime. I'm not here to preach about Daniel today, but it did that influence. What influence is your life having on the people that you come in contact with? My title for today, have you shared your faith? Many of us know the scripture, the Great Commission. These are some of Jesus' final words when he left this earth in Matthew 28, 18 and 20. And Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. How are you? How am I sharing your faith with others? About a month ago, I gave you all an assignment, and I said I was going to come back to this. So if you all are dreading it, we'll go ahead and get it over with. And then, but I've been hearing, actually, first of all, I need two of the children. Remember, I gave you all an assignment. How many of y'all have done anything with it? Have you been able to find somebody or help somebody or show compassion to somebody? Remember, we talked about compassion a number of Sundays ago. If you did something with yours, you're welcome to share. But I want two volunteers this morning that would help me out, two of your children. All right, Declan, and somebody else want to help? Did I pick on somebody? Lakeland, will you help? Okay, so what I want you to do is go back to Cameron. He's going to give you a mic. Or to Tristan and Kendall have them. So you can go to Tristan and Kendall and get the mic, and in just a little bit, I'm going to let you carry the mic around. I had told you that I was going to, or that you could ask somebody what they were, how they were able to show compassion or how they were able to share with others. So this morning I debated about having all the children line up and they could take the mic and give it to anybody they wanted to, and that person could share. I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to give them a chance to raise their hand if somebody has something they want to share. But if they don't, then I'm going to let you pick somebody to go give the mic to. So if you want to go to Kendall and to Tristan and get the mics and be ready to hand those out, and we'll come to that in just a little bit. Now, I've been hearing little bits and pieces, not just the $10 that we gave out, but I've been here. Like we did the care packets the other night. I've been hearing how some people have handed out some care packets, and it's been really neat to see or hear about. And I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. I'm going to be the first one to say, if you handed me the mic this morning, my $10 bill is still sitting there on the counter right where it was. I have it where when I put my contacts in every morning, I see it. When I take them out at night, I can see it. There have been a couple other places where I've been able to actually help somebody reach out to them, but not necessarily with that. It's sitting there as a reminder, and I look forward to the day when there's a point where it says, you know what, this is it. I'll hand it to them. So I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. It really, the idea was not necessary. The idea of it, or the whole goal or what behind it, is to be aware. Are we aware? Are we looking for places? Are we looking for ways that we can share our faith with others? And so I'm not trying to put you on the spot this morning. And there may be other ways that you've been able to share your faith with others. And we're going to take a little time this morning. You can raise your hand. They'll bring you a mic. I'd like to hear how you've been able to share your faith with others in the last little while. So who wants to be first? Who wants to share how God has opened the door for you to be able to share your faith with someone? All right, Brian, Declan, do you want to take it too?
Well, it's not a fancy story. But Brett and I met. He was in one spot, I was in another spot, and a phone call came in of something that needed to be checked out. He needed the shovel off of my truck. We met over in Kitchens Mill. Well, while we pulled off the road, immediately there seemed to be somebody walking right towards me. It was a young black fellow that had a long sob story that I didn't particularly care for. And I was not going to give him anything until I remembered that was 2 days after you gave that $10 bill. And so all of a sudden it struck me. It's like, I would not normally help this guy with money, but I'm going to have to give this $10 bill away right now, I believe. Well, as the story goes, I didn't have that $10 bill along. And you almost cost me a 20 because I pulled my wallet out. But I did find a 10, and I gave it to him. Then he stared me right in the eyes, and he said, "What made you change your mind?" Because he saw I wasn't going to. I said, "Be honest with you. Our pastor gave away $10 to everybody in the church and said, show compassion and give it away." I said, "Honestly, that's the only reason I gave you that $10 bill." So meanwhile, Carolyn drove by and wondered if we had problems. But anyway, it was all good. I gave it away. Now my question is, do I have to give the other one away? Because the message didn't go with it. But anyway, I guess we'll figure that out.
All right. Thank you, Brian. I'll let that up to you. All right, Curtis. Lakeland, do you want to?
Thank you. It's kind of funny. I had in my mind how it was going to go when I got to hand this $10 bill out. And I never got the opportunity until literally just this past Friday. I had it folded up in my wallet, and I just never got any opportunity. It's so weird. People stopped walking up to me as soon as you gave that $10 bill. I don't know. Anyway, I was just pulling out of the car wash. I had washed the truck and trailer in Batesburg, and I was just about to pull out. There was an opening in traffic, and so I was going to take it. Well, this guy was walking down the sidewalk, and he walked right in front of my truck, so I couldn't go. It's like, okay. And here I noticed then pretty quick he wanted to come around and talk to me. I said, oh boy, here we go. Well, he had a story about he just got out of the halfway house, and he has a place to live, but he just needed a little bit of money for some food and drink. And just then, I just felt like that was supposed to be the one that was going to get the $10 bill. And he was asking for $1 or $2. And as I was getting it, he said, but some people will give me 5 or 10. I said, well, I have a $10 bill here, but I said, it's not just any $10 bill. Look on it. It has a Bible verse on it. And I said, I want you to have it. But then when you get to a point in life where you're able to, I want you to pass that on. Like, give something to someone else that's in need. And that's kind of where the conversation stopped. It didn't go how I wanted it to. He walked away. He kind of thanked me and didn't really make much. And I just sat there for a little bit. I was like, well, that's not how I pictured that. I wanted to, you know, maybe have a chance to pray with him or something. He just took off. And I passed him. Then later he was walking the same direction I was driving, and he never looked at me or anything. I was like, I don't know. All I can pray is that God does something with that $10 bill in his heart. I don't know. I have no idea if that's what he needed or I just funded his next, I don't know what. But yeah, that was my story. It wasn't quite how I pictured it.
All right. Thank you, Curtis. It's, you know, we're faithful, and God takes it from there. So
but I had this care package riding around in my truck for a while, and usually those are pretty easy to get rid of because you see guys all the time, but I haven't been seeing any homeless people around, or I haven't been driving where they are. And I was driving down the road the other day, and I saw this guy, and he was leaning, he was doubled over, standing there, and I knew he was on some kind of drugs. I didn't know what. And I was kind of scared to go over to him, but I was like, you know what, I'm just going to give him this package. So I stopped, and I went over to him, and I yelled really loud, where I thought it was really loud, obnoxiously loud for how close I was to him, and he didn't respond. And so I said something again, and he heard me then. He stood up and just kind of freaked out on me. And I said, look, I got a package for you. And he said, is there water in it? I said, yes, there's water in it. And that's what he wanted, was water. And anyway, I just left the thing there in his cart, and I backed away from him, and he proceeded to get his water. And then later I saw the cops there. And so I had to kind of do a Google search to see what he was on, and they call it the fentanyl lean. So their body goes really rigid, and they lose muscle capabilities, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so I don't know where that package went. I saw the cart was gone later. He was gone later, so I don't know. But I had to wonder, like, how desperate of a situation he's in to be in that situation. So,
all right. Thank you, Kevin. All right, Sandra. Declan, do you want to take it to Sandra?
The very next day after you gave those bills, I was in the store. Kayla was gone, so I was helping cover the store. a lady walked in. I just assumed it was a customer. And I said, oh, look at you. It looks pretty rough. She was all, her both hands were all bandaged. And immediately it all came spilling out. And she needed help. She had been burned. It was very obvious. You could still see scars on her face. They had done skin grafting, and she was going over to Doctor's Hospital, I think, over in Augusta, Georgia, on a regular basis. Anyway, I kept asking a lot of questions and trying to get her story, and I finally asked her, well, she wanted money, and we talked about why people aren't real willing to help with money, and we talked about all that. Anyway, I said, well, can I pray with you? And she said, sure. And then she started talking again. And while she was talking, all of a sudden, for the first time, I remembered the $10 bill. But I knew I didn't have it on me. But Scott was hiding back in his office. So I went and robbed his. But anyways, yeah, I gave her the I gave her the $10 bill. And we too talked about the story, about the compassion, and about the story of the Good Samaritan. And she acted like she was familiar with it, but as I talked, I could tell she was really listening. I wasn't so sure that she was familiar with the story after all. But anyway, yeah, the need was legitimate, but I had talked to Dale, and I think they checked into it, and I think there is some history. Her husband later came in, too, because he was trying to figure out what was taking her so long. But there is some history of drugs in the picture there, but the need there was real, and I was glad we could help. And then Justin was there to clean, and she also piped up, and she's like, I think I will give you my $10 as well. So anyways, I got a picture of her holding the two $10 bills, and I said, our pastor said he wants to hear the stories of who received these, and she started apologizing. Tell them I'm sorry I look so bad. But anyway, I just hope and pray that, yeah, that it made a difference, that she knows that people do care and people do have compassion.
All right. Thank you, Sandra. All right, Loretta.
Well, I still have my $10 bill because I haven't really had a chance to give it away. But you were asking about how we've shown compassion. And there's a lady that's been wanting me to come visit her for months. And I was busy with this and that. And the other thing didn't get it done. But I had a day when I wasn't real busy, and I decided, well, I'm just going to go spend some time with her. So I did. And she had some big frustrations that she was telling me about. And then an elderly widow, I also feel like I need to go visit her frequently. So I also went and visited her that day. So another thing that I have, you said, how do we share the gospel? I just found out that a widow has quit going to church because she doesn't have anybody to go with. And so I challenged her, get back in church. And I told her, I'm going to ask tomorrow, did you go to church? So it's not a money story.
All right. That's all right. It's good to hear. Anyone else want to share? All right. If not, so I'll move on here. So I had picked out two stories, and I'm not going to read them both because we'll run out of time. And so I'm not going to read them both this morning. The first one I had picked out was, or that I was going to read was where Jesus prepared to send his disciples out. And that's in Matthew, well, it's in three of the Gospels. I was going to read out of Matthew 10, and you can read, if you want to write that down, I encourage you to go read all of Matthew 10. Jesus got ready to send his disciples out, and he gave them instructions, and a lot of us know that story. No staff, or he did say no staff, not a second staff, or extra shoes, extra sandal, no money to go out. And there's some interesting history that I was going to share, and I'm not going to go there this morning, about how it works to go into the villages and the opportunity that provided, because as these disciples came into the villages, maybe I will just a teeny bit, so you get kind of a picture of it. But as they came into the village, these villages were small, most of them, something the size of Nazareth, where Jesus grew up in. There was probably, they said, roughly anywhere from 200 to 400 people that lived there. And they lived on about a 10-acre plot, maybe 5 to 10 acres. So I don't know if you think about where you live at, how much land you have. My place, we'd have just under 10 acres. So that means that about 200 people living on that little piece of property. That's hard to imagine. I mean, Scott and Sandra remember when Scott's parents used to stay at our place, and they'd one time they looked up and there was a child peeking in the window. It's close enough that you can just run onto the neighbor's house. But they were very aware of what was happening because of the size of this village. And so when they would come out, because they didn't have a place to call ahead and make reservations at the hotel, so what they would do is they would travel and they would come into the square when they would get there. And when they got to the square, it would quickly go out that someone was there. Now, it was part of the Jewish law that if someone was at the square, they were to be taken care of. You were to put them up. You were to feed them. It was actually, if you did not feed them, it could become a cause of their death. And that was, so it was actually part of the Jewish law. So when they would show up in the town square, somebody would look out for them. They would feed them. They would put them up for the night. In return, the guest was to somewhat entertain them. So they would talk about what's happening back where they're from, and they would catch up on the news. It was a newspaper, the traveling newspaper, if you want to say it that way. So it created such a tremendous opportunity for the disciples as they came in there and they sat down. Well, their job was to entertain them. So what do they have? They have the stories of Jesus to tell of what's happening. And so they could massively spread the gospel each place and of what's happening and by what Jesus was doing. So that's what Jesus was sending them out to do. Jesus wasn't telling them to be careless and not take anything. They didn't really need these things, because as they went out to spread the gospel and they came into the villages, their needs were taken care of. And later you'd see that in Luke 22, if you went to look at it, it would say that Jesus asked them, he said, "Now when I sent you out, did you lack anything?" And the disciples said, "No, nothing." So he wasn't asking them to be careless and haphazard, but he was asking them to depend on God and go out and spread the gospel. The one that I do want to look at this morning is Luke 10, and I think I'll read that one this morning in Luke 10, starting at chapter 1. And this is where the second time where he sent out the 70, or some people would say 72. There's a little difference on interpretation, whether it was 70 or 72, and the number doesn't necessarily matter. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter first, say, "Peace be to this house." And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Wherever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works were done in you that had been in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to the Hades. The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." So the Lord sends, then the Lord sends them out, and the following verses, we come, they come back. And also, if you go back and read in Matthew, in the Luke's account of where Jesus sent out the disciples, they came back, they returned, and you'll notice that when they returned, they came back and they told the Lord what all they had done, what had happened. And if you look in, I believe it's in Luke, when they were telling Jesus, that's when they traveled over to Bethsaida, and then that's where he fed the 5,000, was right after they had returned back from them going out and spreading the gospel. But what we want to look at this morning is the return of the 72. It says, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life, or are written in heaven, some translations would say. This morning, as they came, or like when they came back, they were joyful. They were excited. Commentators say where it says that Satan, that Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven, that his powers were shaken, is what commentators say that Jesus was saying there. But what I want us to look at is the joy in verse 17, and then if you go to verse 18, it says, in that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal to him. I want to look at those two words for just a little bit. The joy or rejoice that they, when they came back, and then the word rejoice where Jesus. Those are two different words. In verse 20, when they came back, that word in the Greek is kairo. I don't know if I said that right, something like that. And it's, that one means full of cheer or calmly happy. So they were rejoicing, they were happy, excited. The word rejoice that it uses in verse 21, when Jesus rejoiced, is agaleho. I know I didn't say that right. But it is a different joy, and it is only used, from what I can find, 11 times in Scripture. And this joy is exceeding joy, or it would describe it if you looked up, it says to jump or leap for joy, to be exceedingly glad and rejoice greatly. When I read that and I saw those two different words, I asked myself the question, why was Jesus so happy? It's the only time in Scripture that Jesus used that word, that word rejoice, that Jesus used it in all of Scripture. I think two things. One of them, he saw Satan's kingdom affected and fall. But the other thing is, it brought him great joy to see a group willing, excited, and ready to go and spread the gospel and tell them of God's great plan of salvation. This morning, or yesterday, as I was studying, I looked up some statistics. I like statistics. I like to see what percentages and stuff like that are happening. And I have just a few of them here this morning. Statistics on how many people share their faith. It's an alarming low amount, especially in the last little bit. In 1993, 89% of American Christians believed evangelism was personal responsibility. In 2018, it dropped to 64%. Today, it is roughly 31%. About 30% of U.S. Protestant churches state that many people do not even realize that they are a Christian. Roughly 1 to 6 churchgoers, about 16%, admit that they are hesitant to tell the non-Christians about their life and their faith. About 27% in the last 6 month period, 27% have not shared it at all. 17% shared one time. 15% shared twice. 20% have shared 3 to 5 times, and 21% have shared 6 or more times. Roughly 48% of churchgoers admit that they have not invited an unchurched person to a church service or event in the last 6 months. There was a thing on the end of it that said, why percentage is low? It says, shifting methods, more believers now lean toward sharing faith through good actions. 65% are asking questions about other views. That's 70%. Rather than direct verbal conversation. Many believers cite a fear of damaging relationships, causing social tension, or feeling unequipped to answer difficult questions. Data from different groups have shown a trend that Christians increasingly view evangelism as a job of the local church organization rather than an individual duty. As we think of sharing the gospel, is it a privilege or is it a chore? You know, I read the verse of the Great Commission. It says go, but it is a privilege. God could have used, and God doesn't have to have you and I. It says if we don't, the stones can cry out. There's many ways that God can show people who he is, his goodness, his greatness. And yet, he chose you and I, a privilege to be able to be united with him in sharing the gospel of Christ. So this morning, why share our faith? First of all, it's a privilege. Second of all, it's Christ's command to love others. It's a way that we can show love to others. And we could spend a whole morning just talking in Scripture of where the Bible talks to us about loving others. Third, it strengthens our personal faith. We can look at examples like Peter when he was locked in prison in the church and how God answered their prayers. Paul and Silas sang praises and the prison doors fell open. As we share the gospel to others and we see God move, it strengthens our faith. And last, it deepens our understanding of God. When you are asked questions and it's put to the test, it deepens our faith. Many times you hear people talk about going through hard times, and at the time it looks unbearable, wondering how you're going to get through it. And later, as you look back at it, they see how God worked and how God moved. And we agree that it was good for us to go through those times. As we depend on God and allow him to move, it deepens. Sharing our faith deepens our understanding with God. So as we go through life, as we go through from week to week, there are many ways to share our faith. Again, may we be looking for these opportunities. I believe if we ask God to open those opportunities and we wait for them, they might not come every day, but I believe that God will bring those opportunities our way. And when those opportunities come, may we be faithful to share God's love and his faithfulness and his goodness to those people that he brings our way. May God bless you as you seek him and look for those opportunities to share the love of Christ to those people you come in contact with from day to day. Walter, do you have a song? We're 26 in the folder. You can stand. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for being so good to us. And Father, this morning, the privilege of being able to share the gospel, first of all, for your forgiveness for sins, for our sins, and then the privilege of sharing this to those people that we come in contact with. God, as we go from day to day, help us to, we ask you to bring those opportunities into our path, and then help us to walk through that door and just share your goodness to them in however you direct us. God, I just thank you for each one here this morning. I pray that you would bless each one as we go from here. And I just pray that for each one of us that we can be a light and in our community and in the light to the world around us as we look forward to the day when we can spend eternity with you. So God, I just pray that you would go with us from here today. In Jesus' name, amen.